Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Is It Just Me, the podcast that we like to think of as your weekly dose of very cheap and, well, frankly, probably quite ill-advised therapy. Well, it is like that for me, Joe Elvin and James Williams, him, your host. It's the podcast where we examine the weird little thoughts that lurk in our brains and ask, is it just me who thinks coloured loo roll should be illegal? Or is it just me who thinks that maybe my dog thinks I'm a bit of a dick? But, you know, all the really important stuff like that. So if you're worried that it is just you, I promise you it's probably us too. Welcome to the show where every week we invite a celebrity guest to dissect the inner workings of our brains with us and share their weirdness with us too. This week, we're joined by Seema Jaswal, one of the best sports presenters working in TV today. She's hosted everything, you guys, everything from Premier League football to something called the snooker. And soon she'll be working on the Euros for ITV. And this will be interesting because Seema, I don't really know how to talk about sport. So welcome. Teach me how to talk about sport.
Thank you. Do you know what? I think that's the best introduction I've ever had. I absolutely love it. Oh, thank you. Do you know what? I love the concept of this podcast. I think it's just brilliant because you say all the weird and wonderful things that go through your mind. I think these are my conversations daily with like my best friend. We always talk about things that we feel like we need to get off our chest, yet it's just pointless. It's a wasted hour, but you feel better for it afterwards. And now I have a whole list.
Sometimes you can't believe the things that you think about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the coloured loo roll thing, by the way, I quite like the idea of that. I've even got a Sudoku loo roll.
What?
I mean, this podcast, it never fails to deliver. That is a fantastic fact straight off the bat.
And also, we always get some sort of... There's always some sort of toilet mentioned in this podcast. We don't know how we managed to every week.
My fault. Hashtag straight.
That is true.
We went early this time.
Well, I mean, first of all, Joe, I don't think you're a dick. It's just your dog.
I think a lot of people think I'm a dick. Hang on, we need to rewind. I need to know more about this Sudoku loo roll.
Well, it was my mum that bought it for my husband as a stocking filler, actually.
Right.
It was just, you know, one of those gimmicky things you can buy as a funny present.
It's because though she thinks he's really clever and good at Sudoku, or that he spends too much time on the loo.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
He's gonna love me for this.
I have to say, I would more likely to get on board with a kind of gimmicky toilet roll than I mean, literally, me and coloured toilet paper, I can't bear it. Toilet paper has to be, I have a real strong issue about it because I feel like nothing looks good coming out. Basically, what you use toilet paper for, no background colour is going to make it look any more attractive when you look at it. So my feeling is just keep it white and clean and simple. But actually, I could imagine like a crossword or even like a Rubik's Cube or maybe something festive. That could work.
I'm jealous of those people who had them printed with Donald Trump's face on them.
Actually, do you know what? Recently, I bought bin liners that have lemons and limes all over them. And I'm so proud of my purchase because, you know, they're just cool. So yeah, anything with a bit of a print, I'm happy.
The bin's out, doesn't it?
It just makes it, yeah, makes it more fun.
You've got to find joy where you can in life.
Exactly.
Even in putting out the bin. But Seema, enough about toilet paper. I guess we need to talk about some really important stuff, which is actually, I mean, it's very timely. You know, Joe and I are going to do the best performance of our life here, trying to pretend we actually love football, aren't we, Joe?
All right, I'll give you a crash course.
I'm not as bad as Joe, but yeah. I will say this: it was really funny. I walked past my local pub yesterday, and there were all these flags up, and I was like, my first thought was, "But Eurovision's over." And then my friend went, "No, it's the Euros. They start next weekend." And I was going, "Oh yes, of course, of course, of course." Anyway, so it's in the air, Seema. The excitement is palpable. You're off to Maidstone.
I am, Maidstone. Well, Maidstone and Wembley, but yeah, Maidstone primarily. No, I am so excited. I mean, to be one of the hosts for the Euros for ITV is just, it's such an honour. It's such a privilege to do. I spend a lot of time hosting football anyway, because I host the Premier League's global coverage. It goes out all around the world. So if you're ever on holiday and you happen to be watching football, you would generally see me fronting the coverage. But now I'm, you know, based here with the ITV team, who I know very well from the Russia World Cup. We had a great time together. And to have gone from reporting then to now hosting the live matches and the highlights and doing a little bit pitch side at Wembley is just, it's amazing. I still can't believe it. And I'm so excited. Obviously, we all had to wait for a year because it was delayed. So the excitement levels were building. And then obviously things got called off. And now to have been able to share it with everyone as well was the thing that I was most looking forward to, because I couldn't really tell anyone for a long time. But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
And the thing
is amazing. And how do you feel about, well, first of all, I want to ask, how did you become so interested in sport? What's been your journey?
Well, as a child, I just loved sport, and it came from my parents, really. So my granddad, born and raised and lived in Uganda, he was a really keen tennis player, and he used to play on the clay courts. He played like to a really high level. And then he encouraged my mum and her brothers mainly to play tennis. And so when I was born, my mum and dad thought, maybe I have that tennis gene in me. Maybe I have the skills. So they took me to a tournament really early on, like when I was about 5 years old, and I ended up winning it randomly. And it was something that I just knew. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's like, it was only like short tennis, like indoors with the soft spongy balls. And I was only this high. But it was something that I picked up naturally and I really enjoyed. So they just continued encouraging me to play. I became a tennis coach. And it was something I thought I might do as a career at one point. But alongside that, at school, I studied PE and A-level sport, and I played for every single team. I just loved sport. I loved being part of sports teams. And when I ended up going to university, so my parents were like, look, you should get a degree. And I was thinking, I don't know what I want to do in life. I knew that I loved sport, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I decided to go and do sociology and politics, which I know is really random because I love my sport, but I thought that would open some doors if I needed to, if I wanted to do something.
Yeah, that's a good rounded education.
Exactly. So I came through that, and then an opportunity came about to become a runner at Sky Sports, which is really close to where I live. So I'd handed out my CV to loads of different places going for different jobs, but I saw that there was an opportunity there. So I ended up handing in my CV, and that's where it started. Because when I walked into the studio, so as a runner, you get teas and coffees for everyone, and you're printing scripts, you're getting guests from the main entrance, and you're just looking after things behind the scenes. But you also get to see what everybody does in production. And I saw the studio. I just fell in love with the idea of becoming a presenter. And that's kind of where it started for me.
I think that's just amazing. And now I hate to go straight to this, but it is still reasonably unusual for women to be hosting football. How do you feel about that? Do you feel a different weight of responsibility than if you were a guy, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I get asked this a lot. And I think when I first entered the industry, and possibly even before that, you would only see the likes of Gabby Logan, Claire Balding, Kirsty Gallagher, Hazel Irvin. Those are the four that really stand out to me that would be fronting sports. And even when I was at Sky Sports News, I think Kirsty Gallagher and Georgie Thompson were the main females there. But as I've got into the industry, and especially at the Premier League, where I host all the global coverage, there are so many female presenters. It's really, really nice to see. I know it's still there's still work to be done. It's definitely not balanced yet. But my experience, I think, has been quite different. I've been quite lucky. And actually, even before that, when I went out to India to host all the Indian football, I was the face of Indian football in 2016 for Star Sports. And even out there, they really champion female sports presenters. They encourage, you'd see more female sports presenters than male. Then when I came to the Premier League, I had the same experience. And then with the BBC snooker, you know, snooker is a very male dominated sport. And the pundits, apart from one, is generally all male. But behind the scenes, you've got a female director who's constantly in my ear, female producers, female floor ops. There is a bit more of a balance, and I feel like I've entered it during a period of change, and the Premier League as well. It's the same with the production. So it's quite exciting because I think that things are moving. I think it's quite normal now to see females fronting sport. Yeah. It's undergone a transition, I think, very recently, and I've come into it during that time.
Yeah, that's true. And I think what's nice to hear is that is also reflected in the off-camera team as well. It's not, because I think the idea was it's all well and good putting women on camera, but what about the actual people behind it? But it's great to hear that it's a very diverse crew as
Yeah,
well.
And you know, back to the question, I know, Joe, you mentioned, do I feel like I need to work harder? Well, actually, a lot of the times when I was getting into it, people did say to me, Seema, because you're a woman, it's going to be harder. I did get a lot of that, you know, because you're a female, it might not be as easy for you. And also because you don't really come from a football background, you come from a sports background. So that's another thing. And then you don't know your snooker because I didn't grow up with snooker. So that's going to be a challenge. And they were challenges, but I kind of just used them, those sorts of comments, to motivate me, I think, to just try harder.
I think it's really interesting what you just said about the snooker, because I was going to ask you, there must be, in all the different variety of sports that you host and commentate on, there must be one that you think, Christ, this is boring, and I bet Duke might be one.
Well, I will say one thing. When I was asked to host the snooker, well, first of all, report on it, I was like, I've never watched a frame of snooker in my life. How am I going to do this? And it is one of those sports. If you do not enjoy it and if you do not like it, there is no point in working in it because you will get bored. I then decided to record loads of snooker matches and I just watch them back to back. There are some frames, of course, that get scrappy and that get boring. Anyone would tell you that. But when you get to understand the game, I mean, I love it. I love it now. And I don't think anyone can believe that I actually do, but I really do.
I don't know how they do it, but there's no way I could watch more than about 10 minutes.
Right. I'll watch it with you, Joe, and I will talk you through everything that's going on. And do you like chess?
Oh, I liked the Queen's Gambit. Does that count?
There you go. Yeah. I think this is perfect. It's a bit like chess. It's very tactical. It's very much about thinking about your next move. And it's a very clever and very intelligent sport. I do enjoy it.
Well, my dad's going to love this then, Seema, because I was about to say, weirdly, snooker is one of those sports that I grew up with because my dad was really into it. In fact, my dad taught Terry Griffiths how to play snooker. Yes, he went on to win. And my dad actually beat Terry Griffiths at one point. So, so weirdly.
I'm really famous in the sport, right? I'm just nodding along.
I think he's a world champion. He was a world champion at one point, Terry Griffiths. He's based on my hometown in Wales. There's actually a snooker hall in my hometown, which is called the Terry Griffiths Snooker Hall. So,
legend, yeah.
He's a big deal.
Amazing. So did you play, James?
Well, I did. My sister actually was way better than me. So that's always the way it is, right? So it's a bit like, but I mean, actually, this is a very good way to segue into our first Is It Just Me? Should we get into it? Because I think this is a very easy way to segue. Is it just me who is a bit of a fair weather sports fan? But also, not just a fair weather. I think I'm going to say I'm a proud card carrying fair weather sports fan, because I'll be honest, I am probably one of those terrible cliches that is very interested when it becomes a big national event. So I get really excited about the Olympics. I love the annual Wimbledon championships. I didn't give a shit about tennis the rest of the year round. And I guess likewise, I can honestly say, being raised in Wales, the national game there is rugby. So I'm not into football, really. I'm not. But then I get caught up in, I think because this nation is so football obsessed, you can't help but either go with it or, you know, go against it. And I always go with it because, you know, the energy and, you know, especially when you the sun is shining and the pubs are back open, it becomes almost like a lovely sort of thing to be around. Well, when the energy is good and when we're winning, I guess. But yeah, how do you feel, Seema, about fair weather sports fans?
You know what? I think if I was one, I wouldn't be in a job. So I can't say I am. But I can relate. I can relate to what you're saying. I remember having a conversation with one of my friends. So I got asked to host the Cricket World Cup in the summer. It was back in 2019 and it was amazing. So it was all around England. And I remember her saying, I absolutely love cricket. And I'm thinking, you don't like sport. Like, how do you like cricket? And she's like, no, but I love the fact that you can just sit and drink for about 8 hours. You can sit in the sun. You're out outdoors. I'm like, obviously, that's why you like cricket. So there you go.
I was going to say, and when I think about the sports events I've enjoyed, it's because in my very spoilt, privileged life as a magazine editor, it's because I've been invited to sit and drink Pimm's in a VIP tent at Wimbledon, or I got flown by private jet once to the Monaco Grand Prix.
Amazing.
This pandemic is really bad for my enjoyment of sport because I like all the shit around the event, do you know what I mean? And then every now and again go, oh, you know, well done, that sporting chap, you know, but most of the time
everyone else has started clapping.
My thing about sport is, I guess, because people are always really surprised, actually, because I will watch a question of sport. Like, I actually do quite well on the question of sport. And my friends are always staggered when on the picture round, I can pretty much name 11 out of the 12 people. And they're going, hang on a second, I've never heard you once talk about sport. But I think the thing about me is, I feel a bit like, because I'm not into the big sports, and I think the sports that get a lot of newspaper coverage and a lot of prime time coverage. So for me, those would be, I'd argue, football, Formula One, and possibly snooker. Would you say was the next one, Seema?
No, I wouldn't say it's actually more of a niche. I mean, it has recently, definitely. Yeah. But I would say in terms of sports that get a lot of coverage, wouldn't rugby be one, I think?
Yeah, I think rugby's more seasonal, whereas I think football, the football season goes on for a long time, whereas rugby, I think, is a bit more sort of wintry. But anyway, I always feel a bit like, you know, I'm not interested in those sports. I'm more interested in, like I said, the tennis, the athletics. And I guess they are a lot more seasonal, aren't they? So they're more sort of summer-based and all that kind of stuff. But so I'm not anti-sport in any way, shape or form. But the truth is, I just don't. I think maybe it's because I was raised in a rugby-playing town and, you know, where sport, rugby was the sport. But I feel a bit annoyed sometimes where I think football gets too much attention in this country. I think we're almost too fixated on it. I'm actually not that good at it.
I think football is one of those sports, though, that everybody loves and resonates with, because all you need is a football and some space. And you can even play a bit of football in your living room if you want to. Whereas I feel like with things like tennis or rugby, or there are lots of sports, cricket, snooker, where those other sports I just mentioned, where you require specific equipment and you need to be trained and you need to have lessons. Golf is another one which I've tried to take up. And I think that's why so many people resonate with football as well, because
it's about, you know, it's about that one tennis player and what they can do rather than a team thing. Yeah.
And I must admit, though, with the fair weather thing, I did try and take up golf because everybody in the industry that I work in loves to play golf. Everybody. And they look like they have a lot of fun doing it as well. And I was offered some lessons just by doing some work with them. So I thought, do you know what? Let me try this. So I'd be at the driving range at 6 o'clock in the morning, but only when it was sunny. So I went for about a month during the summer, every other day for probably about a month. And then I just gave up because it became cold. I was like, I'm not doing this in the cold. So I do relate to you with certain sports. I couldn't do it.
If it's cold, golf's not the one, is it? There's a lot of standing around. You know, you want to be running. Yeah.
But I do like it. I do the same with tennis. Like, a lot of people talk to me about tennis because I grew up playing it. It's a sport that I'm really, really passionate about. But actually, thinking about it, the last time I played tennis was probably last summer. And it's becoming a bit of a let's play when the Wimbledon's on kind of thing. So
I ask you, you might not want to answer this, I don't know, but I think you're in a really unique position. I wonder if you've thought about the whole Naomi Osaka controversy And, you know, I've gone all around the shop on what I think about it. But as a journalist, as a sports journalist, did you have any particular strong feelings about her sort of refusing to speak to journalists?
Well, I just think the fact is that she struggled so much with her mental health. And I think it just goes to show it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you've achieved, how much money you earn, because that's well documented in the press all the time, and how successful you are. But mental health can affect absolutely anybody. And I think, I know that it's a duty of a sports person to talk to the press, but she was obviously in a very, very difficult place. And yeah, it's really sad. And I think that it's just an example to everyone that these sports men and women, these athletes, they're human beings. They go through what everybody goes through in life. And I think that was the main thing that I took out of that. And I do wish her all the best. But obviously she would have found it really hard to talk to the press because she just wasn't in the right space.
Mm. What do you mean, Joe? I've gone around the houses on this one, but my ultimate takeaway, I think, on that is, and I guess my information comes from, you know, predominantly my background. You know, we worked a lot with Hollywood celebrities, actors, singers, pop stars, you know, models. And all of those people are contractually obliged, if they're in a film, if they've done a campaign for a big fashion brand, they have to do PR as part of that contract. But they are certainly not obliged to do every bit of PR. And they're certainly not told what PR to do. They will choose what outlets they will speak to. So I think it's a little more nuanced than that. And my feeling is, I do get it. Why should sports people have to talk to everybody every time? They have no input on it. So, yeah, I did think it was a bit of a strange thing. That doesn't apply to other industries,
You know what I think, and this is not, I'm not framing this as a criticism of her at all. I'm just genuinely fascinated by how somebody at her level of tennis can have the mental resilience to do the game and be shaken by talking about it. And I'm not saying that those two things can't exist, but I just find it fascinating because I'm fascinated by all sports people and the mental game they have to play in their own head all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it is strange because you do almost associate exactly what you just said, the fact that she's at the top of her game. And tennis is a sport where you're out there on your own unless you're playing doubles, but you're on your own. You have to go out there. And it's, you stand and fall by those decisions that you make on that tennis court. It's not a team sport. But yeah, it's just another example, as we've seen so many cases, not just through the pandemic, before that as well, of people that you just never expect. It just goes to show it can affect anybody.
And I guess that's my contribution to this fair weather thing, is like, it's when things like this happen in sport, suddenly I'm really interested. Because human story rather than the game.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I've said this to my team before, since becoming a presenter and progressing throughout my career, when I'm asked to be interviewed, I'm like, oh, hold on a second, I'm used to asking the questions here. I'm so used to being the presenter in the studio asking the questions about football, snooker, or anything that any project that I'm given. And now suddenly the tables have turned and people are asking me questions. I'm like, oh, and I actually sometimes get really nervous about it still, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I hope like it doesn't come across like this, or I overthink things sometimes. Not to the point where it really like troubles me, but you know, I do get those feelings that, and everybody will be like, but you're a presenter, you present sport and you present live TV to millions of people around the world. For the Premier League, it's like 700 million viewers. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm asking the questions.
Yeah.
I'm being asked them. Yeah. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing though, right? And unfortunately, we're in that day and age where one quote becomes clickbait, right? And I think it could be totally taken out of context. I do think doing media has become a lot more pressurized because of the social media aspect now. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can just literally see one excerpt that could totally mislead you as to what the person actually said within the context of an interview. So, but we talked about this before, where you know, I think that the trouble with sports people is, I don't think they're natural show ponies, in the sense that, you know, actors, singers, models, they're used to, you know, there's something about that is about the limelight. I think a lot of sports people just love the sport and the limelight comes with it. But when it comes to doing things like interviews, it's almost part of the performance for an actor, a singer, a model. Whereas you know, sports people are just into the sport, so they've almost had to learn. Yeah. You watch Andy Murray. He was a very unhappy. You could tell he was so uncomfortable, and now he's kind of turned into this kind of adorably grumpy media, and everyone loves him for it. But you know, he had huge issues with the press. You know, so I think a lot of sports people will, not just in tennis, I think across the board, will probably feel what Naomi Osaka is doing, that she's probably going to get quite a lot of support for it, because I think a lot of them do feel uncomfortable in that environment. But you know, gosh,
that did get serious. But it's been rare that I think about sport, and I've thought about this one a lot for the last week.
Yeah. Joe, I'm stunned. I'm taken aback. This is progress, Joe. Progress. Now, quickly, Seema, we've got to quickly ask before we move on from this topic, what are England's chances in this World Cup? In this World Cup? Euros. I've got it wrong already. Euros.
It's the Euros. Euros. And it is, and don't feel like you don't know what year it is. It is still Euro 2020. They haven't changed
it. Really confusing, isn't it?
I knew, yeah. It's Euro 2020. Oh,
and then go back to 20. Come on, you.
Yeah.
I think they had to stick with it. Euro 2020, I think England have such a good chance. And I'm not just saying that because
you're so polite.
No, they do. Okay, it's a really exciting time for this England squad. We have so much talent across the board. I don't think we've ever had this much star quality amongst the group. And I'm talking about from defence all the way through to attack. I think we have had a few injuries, so they could cost us. But generally, I think Gareth Southgate's picked a really, really great squad. And we're in a group with Scotland, so that's going to be a fantastic match. I mean, it's a derby, you can't even call it, but I can't wait for that. They've got Croatia, and they've also got, Czech Republic. That's the one. And so I think they have a real chance of winning their group and progressing through. And then when you're in the knockout rounds, then it's anybody's. But I feel like they're going to progress far. I was in Russia for the World Cup in 2018, and England got to the semi-final. They lost out to Croatia, but they played really well. They did play really well, and they learned a lot about themselves. So I think that we have a chance to go quite far. And home games are all at Wembley, which is...
Gareth Southgate seems like a really... a whole coach. Like, he's like really interested in the physicality and the mentality, and the his morale seems to be really, really good under him.
Yeah, he is brilliant. I've had the pleasure of speaking to him quite a bit actually over the years and interviewing him, and he is such a good man manager. He's good at managing people, and I think that's half of the battle sometimes. When you have a good leader, you can bring the best out of those players. Now, they naturally get on because a lot of them play in the Premier League and they play for the same clubs, or they're just around the same age group. So they genuinely have a lot of chemistry and they get on well. But when you've got a leader that brings you together, that he's just brilliant with them. He really is. So I think they've just got the right balance of everything at the moment. So I'm going to say it's coming home. It's coming home.
Coming home. So hang on.
You almost...
Wait a second, Seema. So Wales aren't going to win.
No, do you know what? Wales surprised everyone back in 2016 because they got to the semi-final, didn't they?
Yeah.
And small nation, massive heart. I mean, they've got Gareth Bale, who came into form in the last few weeks of the Premier League, or actually for the last half of the Premier League season, I'd say. So you never know. You just never know. And Scotland as well. Got to give a shout out to Scotland because they're in a good place and they're in the same group as England. But if both of them could get through to the knockouts, that would be a brilliant, brilliant scenario.
Fingers crossed for all the home nations.
Exactly. Yay. That's what I'm saying.
Moving on quickly then, just to say to everyone, if you do feel very much like me that there's nothing wrong with being a fair weather football supporter, you know we love hearing from you guys. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com, and that's precisely what the lovely Angela Jones did, Joe. She emailed us, and you're going to love this one. She basically emailed to say she had to let you know it isn't just her who always uses the rotation system for her knickers, bras and socks.
Rotation system.
21. You spoke about this on the Georgia Toffoler podcast, and she said she was laughing so much when you explained it because she does it too.
Seema, this is where I make sure that all my underwear, all my tea towels, all my bed sheets get a turn. Like when I put the underwear away, it goes under so that I never keep just using the same ones.
Oh, that's so thoughtful of you. Is that to just share the love, basically?
Share the love, not overuse anything, not underuse anything.
Well, what if you're in the mood for, like, I don't know, the red pants that you had.
No, that's not the rule.
No, it's not the rule. All right. So it's not about what you're in the mood for. You just
not
stick
red
to not your turn. You had a turn yesterday. You have to wait. Got it.
It's like, oh, no, not the blue ones that don't fit properly. Oh, well, it's your turn. Yeah.
So if you're wearing, say, a white dress and you know you need to wear like the beige underwear, if it's not the beige underwear's turn and it's red, then it's red. That's
probably
going
to have a different outfit, yeah.
I love it.
But anyway, Andrea, thank you so much. She said she loves listening to us while cleaning the bathroom, Joe. So we have a for you. We do. Anyway, Angie, thank you so much for getting in touch.
Yeah.
And if you, like I said, want to get a shout on the future show, drop us an email. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to just put this one out there because I think this might be one of my very weird ones. But, you know, that's what show would be complete without a weird, confession from me. So I've realised, I think I've turned into that slightly militant person now. I get very tense. Is it just me that gets very tense when visitors come to my house? Very nice. They bring wine and they bring gifts and it's in a plastic bag because I've become quite smug now. I always have my bag for life on me. I can't remember the last time I paid 10 pence, 5 pence, whatever it is for a plastic bag. And I guess because we've been in lockdown, I've had no visitors. So it's been a rare sighting, the plastic bag in my house over the last sort of year and a half. And now as restrictions have eased and I've had a few people around, I'm like, why are you bringing plastic bags into my house? And they're a bit like, what?
And do you shame me about it? Yeah.
I am. I'm quite unashamedly shaming them about it. Am I an awful, monstrous person?
No, I think, you know, we kind of have to. Why is plastic still a thing? Why are plastic bags still a thing?
I know. It is weird.
I know. I have my own little canvas bag, which I like to take around and reuse. I think it's so important to just not use plastic. I'm one of those that's really, really, really passionate about recycling and I hate litter and I hate all of it. I am actually really funny about that. And I tell people off if I see them drop stuff, which is, yeah. I am with you. I mean, I can't say I've ever got really like tense about it, but now it's in my mind. Maybe I will start, you know, telling anyone that comes over, excuse me, you cannot enter this house if you have a plastic bag. Well, but that's the way you make change. People change.
Is it really bad? I make people take them home with them.
No, fine.
Is that really bad?
Deal with it.
Well, no, because you know why? Because I think this must have been, maybe it was probably a lockdown project where I literally had run out of things to do. And I suddenly thought, because I got into that terrible habit of whenever people came around with a plastic bag, or, you know, I had obviously a stash of plastic bags that I had bought over the years. And I just kept shoving them into this one cupboard in my kitchen. And it was that one cupboard from hell. When you opened it, all the plastic bags would fall out. It would really annoy me. It would just be like guilt tripping me going, you've got all this plastic. So one of my projects was I deliberately got rid of it. I recycled all of it. And I thought, right, I'm not going to have any plastic bags in the house. So I'm just trying to keep it now at zero plastic bags. So when people bring one from the shop, I'm like, yes, you can take that home with you, please.
You know, I stuck it to me.
Boots, though.
What's that, sorry?
I stuck it to the man in boots when I was sort of like, had my purchases and I'd forgotten to bring a bag. And they've got the paper bags that you have to pay 5p for. And I stole one. I didn't pay for it.
Good on you.
And I just thought, you know what? I've already spent X amount of money in here. And it didn't go, the barcode wouldn't work on it. So I thought, screw it. I'm just having it. And I felt really rebellious. And like I might get stopped on my way out of the shop, but I didn't.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Do you know, actually, what you talk about plastic bags, you know what scares me? You know, coming from an Indian family, whenever you have people coming over, so they will come with the plastic bag full of plastic containers with food in them because everyone has to bring food over. Oh, it's just like literally enough to feed an army as well. You might be just you and your hubby, but they bring containers full of food. And then you end up with all this. Does anyone say the word Tupperware anymore? Because my mum's still does. Yeah, Tupperware. Yeah. All these like containers. I don't even remember Vitalite. I don't even know if that still exists, but the Vitalite round margarine tubs were the thing for Indian families because they had just put all the food in there. And then the whole thing is when they leave, they obviously get given a container full of food as well. And the cycle continues. So what scares me is when the family turn up with plastic containers because you end up having a fridge full of food. You're like, oh my God.
The plastic containers, at least they're being used.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. Definitely.
The real life in your family.
Exactly. It just goes round and round, and everyone gets very territorial about their plastics. It's like, make sure you give me the Vitalite tub back because that's my favourite one. I'm like, all right, Mom. That's how it works.
I like that insight.
I feel like my Tupperware, of all my cupboards, now that I've got rid of the plastic bag cupboard, I have to say the second most hated cupboard in my kitchen is the Tupperware cupboard. Because is it just me that cannot stash Tupperware in a way that is, I feel like I'm constantly playing Tetris or like a really bad game of Tetris I'm never going to win. It's just...
One who tries to organize it and everybody else just throws it in my house, and so inevitably I'm the one who opens the cupboard, it all falls on me, and then I spend half an hour organizing again.
That's what happens to me. Open the cupboard and it all falls out, and then you spend all this time thinking you've stacked it really well, but then if you need the big container that's underneath, then when you take everything, it just think of a storage, like a storage system for Tupperware. Maybe we could invent something.
I bet you there's some really terrifyingly anal things you can find on Pinterest.
There must be, because my issue is that, you know, do you keep the lids on? That's my issue. To make more of the space, I have all the lids off. But then all the lids always fall out. It's a very, very stressful experience.
And then finding the lid.
Well, and then it becomes a bit like socks, right? Because if you don't pair up the socks as soon as they're dry, you always lose odd socks, right? I feel a bit like that. I swear to God, I now have Tupperware lids and that do not match any of the bottoms. It's like, what the fuck has happened here? It's like a misnomer. I don't get it.
Maybe you could put like a number, 1 and 1, 2 and 2, so you can have like a little system, so you know that lid goes with that.
I love a system.
Yeah, exactly. Good. We like systems.
I know. Genius. I'd not thought of that.
I was going to say, Joe, I was relying on you to just pluck out a genius life hack to sort out my situation.
I tried so hard to hack the plastic cupboard, but it's unhackable.
Okay, right. This is now a genuine cry for help to all of our listeners. If anybody out there does know of a brilliant Tupperware storing hack, please get in touch with us and email us. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We, all three of us, need to know. I'm sure the wider world needs to know this. It can't just be us. It's stressing about this Tupperware situation.
The public service we're performing here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Final topic time, ladies.
What is it? I can't remember. Well,
again, this might be a bit of a weird one for me. Sorry, it's a bit of a weird fest of mine this week.
This is called Welcome to James's Brain.
Yeah, I like it. I really learned a lot today, James, about
it. Sorry, everyone. Welcome to It's All About Me. No, sorry. No, this one occurred to me this week because, actually, touching slightly on having had that fascinating Tupperware conversation, I realised the other day that I would be slightly more mortified, I think, if people hacked into my Amazon account and saw what I order on Amazon rather than, say, any of my private photos, because there's nothing interesting to see in any of my private photos or emails. But my Amazon order delivery is probably a lot more embarrassing. Not because it's kinky.
Fine, James.
Well, it's just quite boring. Although I feel like I may have found a soulmate in Seema, because when she mentioned her bin liners with lemon and limes on.
Yeah, oh, amazing, amazing.
Where are those?
Yes.
Oh, Marks and Spencer's.
Ooh. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't think that they would be branching out into...
I think there's three. There's one with lemons and one set with limes. And I think I've seen raspberries or blackberries or something.
You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to attract back some of those Lakeland weirdos, aren't they? Those people who like really who go in for their banana guards and
that's exactly what it is.
Nice. Yeah, I'm also a fully fessed up Lakeland weirdo. I live for that place.
Well, I'm just gonna be very brave here. I'm actually opening my Amazon account just so I can go through my recent order. Oh my god, right, just the top three alone are like so a sugar thermometer.
What?
Why not? Because I was lying there one day and I suddenly thought, this is what I do now. I basically, because I have too much time on my hands, because even though we're still not properly free, we've got too much time, but we're at home far too much, I thought, I just find it, what gadget don't I own in the kitchen? It's running low now. So I thought, oh, I'll get a sugar thermometer. Oh, actually, it's because I wanted to make fish and chips for National Fish and Chip Day. And I thought, oh, I can't heat the oil because I haven't got the thermometer. So yeah, so that's a lovely, sexy one, a thermometer.
Nice.
Oh my God, this is actually slightly embarrassing. I've ordered some pampas grass. You know that stuff that everyone used to think was about swinging in the 70s and the 80s, but it's having a resurgence. It's
about swinging.
Wow.
But I couldn't actually bring myself to go into a shop and buy it, because I thought, I don't want somebody thinking I'm a swinger, I ordered it on Amazon under the cloak of Amazon.
You're gonna get such a wink and a smile from the delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
And then an ice tray, because I suddenly thought I need to stop buying bags of ice. I bought an ice tray. But you know, clothing pegs. Clothing pegs, because I've become obsessed with my clothing line.
Yeah.
In the summer months here. And I think it was when I was Googling, I think I actually put the words chic clothing pegs into Amazon, that I suddenly thought, this is a low moment where you're even trying to make pegs.
Pegs, exciting. What pegs did you go for in the end? Like, standard?
I actually went for, you know, I did find those. I think they're called dolly ones. So they actually look like little dolls. They're the wooden pegs. They're a slight head and then two legs.
But, amazing. Yeah,
I know. So
I'm not impressed. I can see.
We've got to appeal to Boris Johnson straight after this podcast. We've got to get James out of the house. We've got to. Please vote for Freedom Day, everybody. Freedom. Yeah.
You know what you said about therapy for everyone else? This is basically just my therapy, isn't it? This is me crying for help.
Well, it's really funny. With the Amazon history, it's so funny because as we entered lockdown, so a lot of my hubby's parents and my parents, they weren't so good with, you know, Amazon orders and stuff. So he was like, you know what? Let's put everybody on our account. So he has the account and everybody kind of uses it.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. So then, but this is really interesting because I'm like, but then everyone can see what everyone's ordering, which is fine. But if anyone was to hack into that account, I'm telling you, you've got, so my sister-in-law's also on there as well. So you've got like Kinetic Sand, I think I remember seeing.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Sophie, the giraffe, that teething toy. But then my mom's ordered citric acid because she said it's really good to clean the sink. You've got a steering wheel lock, which was my dad. Like, it's just the most random list. And I was like, yeah, we don't really want to show anyone this.
But actually, Seema, that's quite a funny, it's almost a bit like that could be a good twist on the old family Zoom in lockdown. You could basically guess who placed the Amazon order.
Yeah.
Now that, I think back to that, James needs to get out.
that to me sounds like a great night out.
Can't wait for that. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh dear, dear.
It would be fun.
Seema, I stand under normal circumstances, I'm quite a well-rounded human being. I swear, I'm not really this mental.
I know you are.
come on, Joe. You must have got something embarrassing you've ordered recently.
Well, the only thing I bought that I'm slightly embarrassed about, which I don't know why I am, but I bought an oxygen monitor for your finger because somebody who had COVID told me that it really helped, it really calmed her down because she felt like she couldn't breathe. But using that thing on her finger, she knew she was getting enough oxygen. So I diligently went and bought one of those when I thought I was going to die of COVID. Apart from that, what have I bought there? I suppose the most embarrassing thing I ever buy on Amazon is, I don't know why, there's these books just full of glossy printed paper that you can use to gift wrap. And I just really love them and I've got no use for them. And I've got about 18 of them now.
That's everyone's a really good idea. What, you get books with paper that you can use to...
Yeah, you can use it, but then they're so pretty, I'm a bit loath to use them. So I just look at them. So I've got this useless stack of books that I just think is really pretty. And,
I think that sounds really cool. I like that.
I mean, it is amazing, though, isn't it? Because it's just like, you think, oh, they won't be able to sell this. And that's what I find. it's just Amazon's world and we now live in it, really. It really is.
I tell you what, if you're gearing up, go onto Amazon, everybody, and Google Paul Ross portrait mounted on canvas. It's Jonathan Ross's brother. And you can get a canvas portrait of him. And the best thing about it is all the reviews underneath it are the funniest things I've ever seen in life. It's just people going on about, you know, my wife was about to leave me, my dog died, but then I got this amazing portrait now my life. It's brilliant. And every now and again, I go on just to check that it's still there because it cheers me so much.
But I'm worried I'll end up buying one.
Yeah.
The next time you're on the pod, you're going to see the Paul Ross picture behind
me. Oh dear. Right. Well, I think I'm going to go off and have a very harsh word with me and my life choices right now. Because what's really worrying is I'm not embarrassed. I'm worried that I'm not embarrassed about these things. Like the fact that I've, you know, I'm really proud of my clothes pegs.
I just, you and your sugar thermometer, every happiness together. I just, no judgment.
I know. Love.
And good luck with the Paul Ross picture that's on its way, I guess, tomorrow then.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for hooking me up there, Joe.
Who's your pal?
You've always got my back. Seema, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, Euros start this weekend, so you're going to be on our screens a lot over the next few weeks. Good luck. No match nerves, I hope. Not you need them. It'll be brilliant. But thanks for joining us again to the spirit of the show. It's a lot of silliness, I know, but thank you for getting
it. I love it. It's been brilliant. I can't believe an hour has just passed this quickly.
Thanks.
Best to start the day.
Time flies. You're talking about clothes.
Watch now, because I know you and I like you, and then I can say, I know her.
Exactly.
And don't worry, we'll sit down and talk about snooker one day. I promise you.
Yeah. What about the 35th of September? How's that for you?
Yeah. No, I will. It's my mission now. Challenge. I will. Oh, I will get you into it.
Will there be cake?
Will there be cake?
Cake. Yeah.
Yeah, and champagne.
Oh, fine. Yeah.
Fine. Cool. Right. Can't wait.
you know the way to Joe. That's the way to Joe's sports instincts. Take a champ.
Yeah. Works for me as well. Oh, brilliant.
Thanks so much again, Seema. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you again very soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.